Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, with God's help, let's turn and read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. Evangelium da se pročita iz Evangelia po Luci, 14. glava. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. And whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and the recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lamed, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If a man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I read the next two verses also. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. There was the chapter that we have before us is a, we look at it, and when we read it, we realize how severe the words of our Lord and Savior are. There's severity in what he is speaking. It starts out with a healing, a remarkable thing that takes place as it says that the chief of the Pharisees invited many to come to his house. It was on the Sabbath day. And it tells us here that there's a certain man that is in front of him now who has the dropsy. He was paralyzed and couldn't move. So that tells us that he was bidden because he was there. But he was bidden for a reason. And Christ knew the reason. It wasn't to feed him. It wasn't to take care of him. It was to tempt Christ. And so they put him there in front of him. And it tells us that Jesus answers them, but we don't find them asking a question to Jesus at all. But he's giving them an answer because he knows why they invited him. And he tells them, and he asks them, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? This is what their problem was with him. And so he asked them, is it lawful? And they held their peace. They couldn't answer him. So it tells us here that he took him and healed him. And he let him go. And then he answered them again and asked them a question. Which of you, if you have an ass or an ox, if he falls into a pit, will he not take him and pull him out, even if it's on the Sabbath day? And they couldn't answer him. Neither of these things. And so he puts forth a parable now to all that are bidden to come into the house to share this feast, because he sees how they were all clamoring for the chief rooms and seats. And he lays before them teachings of how one exalts himself, he will be made abased or made humble. The one who humbled himself shall be exalted. And so he gives this example of what would happen to these men who come in. They were invited to come, but they're fighting for the positions. And he's saying that those who are fighting for these positions will be humbled. And he says, now he goes to the chief Pharisee, and he tells him, when you make a dinner or a supper, don't call all these big names. People that are going to be able to do that which you did for them, they're going to return it. He goes, but rather call those who cannot return anything. So when you call someone to a feast, do it for someone who cannot do it back to you. That is love. That is the invitation to feed someone, to bid them to this to eat bread. And he says there, and he closes that conversation with him with Thou wilt be blessed if you call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, because they can't recompense thee. But your recompense is at the resurrection of the just. So he reminds us here, dear ones, that our recompense is not here. Don't expect to serve the Lord here and expect something as a recompense from the Lord here today in the form of whatever we might expect it in. The form that we receive it in is in our devotion to Him, our service to Him, our love for Him comes with the peace, the joy that invades or takes place in our heart that we can't find in this world or in the material possessions. And it says here that one of them, when they heard him say this, the recompense that will be given at the resurrection of the just, he says to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That in and of itself is a beautiful saying. There's nothing wrong with what was said. However, Jesus turns to him now and gives him an answer. And he tells him of a certain man who made a great supper, and he bids many to come in. And we know this story, dear ones. We know how, but we'll go over here where he says that as he bids many to come in, he tells them, "Come, all things are now ready." And they, with one consent, began to what? Make an excuse. An excuse is something that we make when our heart is not into that, so we make an excuse. The real reason is not being given, but an excuse is being made as to the reason why my heart is not in what you're inviting me to do. And so these people made an excuse. Excuses that says here that one says that I bought a piece of property, I need to go look at it. Who would buy a piece of property without ever looking at it? So that's an excuse that doesn't even make sense. He needs to go and see that which he already purchased. He probably never even bought a piece of property. Flat out lie. Another says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go prove them. Who would buy 5 yoke of oxen without proving them already? I pray thee, have me excused. Another says, I married a wife. Why didn't he invite his wife with him? So you see, all of these excuses were given. But the real problem at the root of the matter was the fact that they didn't want to go. Jesus says, behold, all things are ready. We read this past Sunday, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he bids, come. And he says there's no one that will have an excuse that will stand. The real reason is what was given here. These are the things that keep us out of the kingdom of God. He talked about earthly possessions. Those things keep us from the kingdom of God. That's this land. He talked about commerce, the trading of oxen and buying and selling. Those things keep us from the kingdom of God. He talked about a natural affection that we have. Those natural affections keep us from the kingdom of God. Because he says here, he says, I cannot come, I have married a wife. And then he goes on and says, so the servant came, showed his Lord these things, and he went out. He was angry. He went out, called many more, and called, goes in the highway and edges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Dear ones, every one of us today have this is an invitation. Every one of us has received an invitation. Are we willing to put away our commerce, our earthly possessions, our natural affections, set them aside so that Christ would reign supreme in our hearts? He says, and he walks outside then, and great multitudes come with him, and they turn, and now he turns to the multitudes that are following him. And he turns to them and says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and he goes on and says, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Those are harsh, severe teachings. Let's consider the publicans, the normal men, the sinners. They're following Jesus. What does he give them? Does he give them an easy recipe? Does he tell them anything that would be easy to grasp? No, he goes and tells them there is no relationship that can stand between me and you. And oftentimes this natural affection that we have stands in the way of us serving our Lord. Too often, a father is willing to follow his daughter or his son into lax Christianity, to stay friends with him, to stay close to him. Not willing to let anyone go, because it hurts too much. And Jesus says, if you're not willing to let everything go, and then he goes on and says, yes, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross, whose cross? His own cross. And come after me. What? He cannot be my disciple. And dear ones, man likes to use this verse oftentimes in describing the hardship of his own life. Hardships that he faces, he considers his cross. Dear ones, if I'm paralyzed and I can't walk and I can't move my arms, am I going to say that's my cross? Because there's someone that could be paralyzed and cannot move and is a vegetable and not even be a believer. So how is that now the cross of someone who is a believer? If I lose my job and lose my house, is that my cross? How can it be my cross? If I lose my health and if I get cancer, how can that be my cross? Because we live in a cursed world. We live in a world that believers and non-believers, the rain falls on each. It falls on all. No, the cross is the cross of Christ. Jesus said that he was willing, or Paul says of Jesus, he says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ also, who being in the form of God, who, he's saying, being God himself, he made himself of no reputation. He took on man, took on flesh and blood, and made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the cross that we are to take up. My own cross. I have to hate my own life. I can't live for myself. I have to hate my own life. God has to be first in my heart and in my life. And I have to die to myself. That's my cross. He says, take it up and follow me. If you don't, you cannot be my disciple. He's telling the multitudes, the great multitudes who turned and followed him. Those who heard his teachings, heard something, heard someone speak as no man has ever spoken before, with authority. One group is eyeing him, trying to catch him. Who is that? The religious elite. And these men are following him, and Jesus doesn't tell them, just love me. He tells them, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die for yourself? Because all these other things, the inclusion of this, of these affections for self and others more than me, the inclusion of those things excludes me, Jesus is saying here. If you include your possessions, you include your commerce and trade, you include your relationships, you're excluding me. Those are severe teachings. He says, take up the cross. What does Satan say about man to God? What does he say about you? What does he say about me? Same thing he says about me and you. He says, all that a man hath will he give for his life. All that a man hath, that's me and you. Everything we have, we will give for our life. Jesus says, if you gain the whole world, and lose your own soul. In other words, go ahead and have all these relationships above me. Have all this trade. Have all these material possessions. You've gained the whole world. You've lost your soul, your life. What does it matter to you? What will it avail you? So he's showing us, dear ones, he's not being harsh and mean. He's showing us the way to his heart. We have to be abased, humbled, in order to be exalted. And God will lift us up. When I lift myself up, and I'm running for these chief seats, and I want to show who I am, matter in, can be in what I've done, what I've given, what I... If I'm showing you who I am, I'm exalting myself, God will humble me. God will humble me. And God will also exalt me. God exalts those who take up their cross, who count their life as nothing. Nothing to live for him. Think about what a man does today, a soldier. A soldier who, for reasons that are given to him, could be absolute lies, doesn't matter. He leaves his mother, he leaves his father, he leaves his brother, he leaves his sister, he leaves his son, his daughter, his friend. He leaves it all and goes into war. He goes to fight for a cause that he was told is right. But who is willing to do that for Christ? Are we willing to do that for Christ? To go. Jesus doesn't talk here to the multitude, to bring in the whole multitude. He talks about what it takes. And if the multitude will continue to follow him, blessed are they. God doesn't look for numbers. Dear ones, are we focusing on, let's preach this, do this, say this, allow this to get the numbers up? What did God do with Gideon? He had 32,000 men. God says that's too many. 22,000 dropped out when they were tried. God counts them again, says that's still too many. It ended up with 300 men. 300. God is showing his power is not with might, not with numbers. His might is not with numbers. It's with taking up his cross. When you take up your cross and I take up my cross and I follow Jesus, what is the cross? Let's read it again. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Will God exalt you and me if we humble ourselves and be obedient unto death, the death of the cross, where I have to die to myself and my will and my affections and all the things that will make me happy in this life? Those things that I don't want to give up. And he says again, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he goes on and says, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So you're going to lay a foundation. You're not going to be able to finish it. You're going to be made mockery of. People are going to laugh at you. This man began to build and wasn't able to finish. What king goes to war and doesn't sit down first and consult whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him, to come with him with against him with 20,000. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Dear ones, are we ready to exclude everything to include Jesus? Or are we going to include other things and exclude him? He says, salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? And he tells us, what good a man is who says he is a Christian. What good is he to God who has not forsaken all that he has? He said, you are salt that has lost its savor. He says, what is it good for? It's not fit for the land. It's not fit for the dunghill. Men cast it out. And he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And who is it that heard? It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And what did the Pharisees do? They murmured. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The teachings of Christ cut to the heart. That's his word. It divides the bone and the marrow. It divides a father and a son. What is that sword that divides? It's his word. It's his word. And he who isn't ready to forsake everything to follow him cannot be my disciple. How many times does Jesus say this here? Cannot be. Have we left all of our affections, goals to live for Christ? Or do we feel that we are entitled to a life of luxury because we serve Christ. That simply means that we've never excluded those things from our heart. That's what's in our heart. And those are the excuses that we will make. But remember, an excuse is simply that which reveals where my heart really is. And so as Jesus bids us to come to the feast, to come to him, will we go? None of us here, this is talking about an invitation. None of us here can say we were not invited to this feast. Jesus has invited us right here. We'll say, well, how? Well, we read who he is. We read who he is and what he does. And he told us what we must do, or we cannot be his disciple. And so as we look at this, are we going to look at this and say, well, that doesn't really mean that? What does it mean? What does it mean he cannot be my disciple if he doesn't bear his cross? What does bearing a cross mean to us if it doesn't mean that I have to die to my own will? That I have to die to my to what? I have to die to what he talked about here about being exalting myself in front of others. That has to be put away. Those things have to go away. Salt is good. Have we lost our savor? Brothers and sisters, do we feel, when we read these words, from verse 25 and down, he speaks of who cannot be his disciples. Can we read all these verses and say, that's a description of me? I counted the cost, and the cost is the cross, my life. Not to say that one day, if there's persecution, I am willing to lay down my life. There's millions that have given their life in that manner, and there's billions who haven't. Is that going to be the test? No, he says the test is right here, in our affections, in our possessions, in our trading, and so on. That's where the test is. Have you given your life to Christ? Ye are the salt of the earth, Christ said. Ye are the salt of the earth. Salt is good, he says. Those who have forsaken everything and followed after him, Christ said, you are salt and you are good. If you haven't done that, you've lost your savor, you're good for nothing. That's severe. There's no other easier way that it can be brought forth. There's no other way that we can be brought forth to bring us into a better relationship or a more pure relationship with our Lord. Then I have to be willing to take up my cross every day, die to myself, to my affections. There's no relationship that is worth losing your soul over. There's no amount of possessions that are worth losing your soul over. And yet Satan knows me and knows you. And he says, what will a man give for his own life? That's our problem. Our life is too dear to us that we don't want to give it up. We don't want to give up those things which bring us the satisfaction and the enjoyments and the pleasures. And those things give us this, and for that, we give up eternity with him. So, dear ones, as our Lord has spoken these words to each of us, we need to ask ourselves, are we salt? or have we lost our savor? And for you, our dear friends, our young souls, Jesus says, it costs you your life to follow me. It costs everything. Don't hold anything precious and more pure above me. And when he is your life and he is your all, he will give you, as it says here, the recompense of the just will be given. But here below, dear ones, yes, you may not have all of the things that the flesh desires, because the flesh is dead. We've taken up our cross and we've died. And so those things no longer move us. May God grant unto each of us, dear ones, that we would grow in his grace. The invitation is given, and the method to follow is given. And again, the choice is simply ours. Amen.